the message this morning, like I said, we're starting a series called Multiply. And I am going to be drawing from a number of different texts. And as I draw from these texts, hold on a second. My little guy here is not working. Well, I'm going to be drawing from a bunch of texts. And these texts in which I'm going to draw from, they have some significant meaning. A lot of it's kind of, can I say that? I'm going to invent a word. Old Testament-y. A lot of them come from the Old Testament, but we're going to wrap it into the New Testament, all right? We're gonna pull it back to the New Testament and how it all relates. And what fascinates me about the scriptures is how they all melt together and they come together and they are consistent. And this particular series is going, we're going to talk about a bunch of different things, but the main thing we're going to be talking about is what does it mean to multiply and what does that look like from a biblical perspective? What does it look like from an individual perspective? What does it look like from a community of faith? So what does that look like for us as a community of faith? Well, there's a couple passages we're going to start with, and the first comes from Exodus 13, 1 through 2. And this morning I decided to use the New King James Version. I usually use the NIV, but I'm using the New King James Version. And it says this, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine.'" Does anybody know what consecrate means? Yeah, make holy, like make it holy, like make it consecrate it. And so consecrate to me all the firstborn, consecrate, they are to be given to me, turned over to me, and God calls that out. But then there's this other text here in Exodus 13, 12 through 13, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. All right. Do you see Jesus there? No, you don't. Okay, that's what I want to point out. All right, we're talking about consecrating. We're talking about turning over the firstborn. And it says, look at that last part. "And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." And the lamb, it's talking about the lamb being the means to redemption. Did you know Jesus is called the Lamb of God? Did you know Jesus redeems the brokenhearted? Do you know that he redeems those that don't know him, don't follow him, but then they turn to him and say, "All right, Lord, I want you to be my God, my Savior, my Redeemer." Redeemer means it takes the broken, beat up, and makes it new and fresh. And so there's this redemption work, and this is set up like this for a reason. Because it says, most of you are familiar with this passage, I would say. Not this one, the one I'm about to quote, I'm sorry. Yeah, most people aren't familiar with this particular passage, but in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." For God so loved the world that he gave what? His one and only Son, the first. You see how it's connecting? So, "And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck." That's how serious it is. This redemption, it needs to be. Basically, God's calling us out and saying, "Hey, trust me. I know what I'm doing. Just turn over the first. Whatever is first, make it first and give that first to me." So, I'm going to break it down real simple. Let's say I'm a landscaper and I go and I mow somebody's lawn, and redo all their gardening and all their shrubs and everything and put everything in and did a lot of work, extensive work, and I make $1,000 that day. Now, what is 10% of 1,000? 100. So out of those $100 bills that I just received, the first of the 100 automatically gets turned over to God. That's the 10%. That's God's. And the 900, another 100 throw in savings. And then the rest, that's a lot of money, the rest. God says, that's yours. A lot of us do this. All right, I just made $1,000. I have so many bills to pay. I have credit card debt. I have this debt. I have that debt. I have this debt. And I got to pay it all off. And then God gets the penny. Or maybe a nickel. Or maybe a dollar dropped in the plate. But it's about prioritizing. So the first, God wants our first. He doesn't want our last, our leftovers. The thing with tithing and offering is it's about trust. It's a trust issue. Do we really trust God? And I would say the majority of us don't really trust God. I know I wrestled with this like crazy when I truly came to this time of faith where I realized that I was going to fully follow God. It was the crisis of faith is one of the terminologies that is used when you come to this place where you're like, it's all about God. It's going to be my complete commitment and devotion to God with my life now. And I'm going to focus on God. And basically what happens at that point is God starts really working on you. And one of the things God really has worked on me and still is to this day is tithing and offering. Fortunately, when I was in our ministry in New York, I set up that what would happen is the tithe would come directly out of my check. So I wouldn't even have to think about it, and I wouldn't even see it. So I'm like, take this amount out. And then I did that at every church after that point. And we just set it up here for that because for me, that's the way, you know, I want that to just go right to God. I don't want it to be, oh man, I got to bring the money, I got to get. So one of the things I'd like to have set up is online, because I know some people under the age of 25 don't really know what a checkbook is. That's like this, it's this paper, and it's about this big square, and it can like rip off, and you have this thing called a check register, and you can actually write in there, but you can write a check. You can write a check. But because most people under the age of 25 don't have checkbooks, it's easier to pay online. It sounds weird to some people in here, but the reality is that makes it easier. And I'm saying all that, I've got a little sidetracked, but I want to share what happened yesterday. You know when you give, whether it be money or your time or your energy or effort, you want to do it with a giving and loving heart, right? Well, I have a neighbor. And in the morning, I get up early, and I was out shoveling pretty early on the snowstorm day. And I shoveled the driveway, and I knew my neighbor, you know, had difficulty. But we had a conversation about a month prior, and this individual shared that they couldn't pay their bills, but they knew they wanted to stay in the house, and they know their rights. So I was like, oh, I can't stand it when people do that. So I had like this sour heart, you know? I was like, I don't want to help her. And I was like, God, I know I should, but I don't want to. And so I shoveled my driveway, went in, and then that was 2 days ago when I shoveled my driveway. Then I drove to my mother, shoveled her driveway. And then came back to the house. And yesterday, her driveway was still not shoveled out. And I look out the window. I'm talking on the phone. I was actually talking to Mark on the phone. phone, and I looked out the window, and I go, oh, man, Mark, I got to go. My wife's shoveling the neighbor's driveway, and I got to go help her. So God, like, just went, Kobe, you're an idiot, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. You need to learn a lesson. And so Stacy's out there shoveling, and I'm in there going, I'm like, what is she? Oh. And I go out there, and I'm shoveling, and I'm still like, I don't want to shovel this lady's driveway. I'm like, oh. And I'm shoveling, and I'm shoveling, and I'm just mad. I'm like, and I said to Stacy, I'm like, Stacy, I didn't tell you this, but I didn't want to shovel her driveway. And I said, I'm kind of mad. You remember what she said a couple months ago? And she looked at me dead in the eye, and she said, you know what? You just got to have a tender heart, and you got to be giving. And you shouldn't think about that. And I go, you're right, but I... She said, no, you can't think. I'm like, oh, God. And I'm like, God, what are you doing here? And I walked away. And I think part of, like, this series coming up and part of my thought process and even my heart has to be reshaped just as much as yours does. All of us are still works in progress. All of us still need to grow in our faith. None of us is perfect. None of us has arrived yet. None of us is fully sanctified. Who thinks they're fully sanctified, meaning totally holy? Oh, her hand's going up and down. What does that mean? So we haven't arrived yet. We're not in heaven. We're not glorified bodies yet. So we still got some work. God's still doing work on us. And if you don't think God's got to do work on you, then ask your spouse or the person closest to you if God's got to still do work on you. So the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. You see that? The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. So the first must be sacrificed or redeemed. And this sacrifice and this redemption is critical to our understanding and gaining wisdom and knowledge and comprehension of the scriptures. Because this isn't just a book that was written a few thousand years ago that has no relevancy to us. And then there's people that say, well, the Old Testament is now irrelevant and the New Testament is all that matters. The law doesn't matter anymore because Jesus came and he abolished the law. That's not true. He came to fulfill the law. So, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The firstborn must be, ready? Sacrificed or redeemed. The second thing is, the first fruits must be offered. You may not know what that means. The first fruits must be offered. And what that means, if you're not taking notes, there's the notes to take. Because I think we got to reflect on this, and I think it'll take a while for this to really seep in. And some may be sitting there going, I'm already shut my mind off. I'm not listening anymore. This is annoying. I don't come to a worship gathering. I've had people say this before. I don't want to, like, I'm really tentative about giving a message about tithing and offering, mainly because of this. There are people that get so turned off by it that they don't want anything to do with it because they've seen a televangelist going, God's going to bless you if you bless me, and he'll bless you. The more you give, the more you're blessed. But he's talking about giving to him. Do you get the difference? There's this difference. It's this heart mentality of giving to God. And you're not going to be blessed by giving to someone because you feel guilty or whatever. It's about this overflow from the heart. Sue mentioned that overflow. She mentioned her husband speaking into her life at a pretty critical time. God can use people to speak into our lives in profound ways. So the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. God will never be on second base. You get it? I used a little baseball analogy there. God wants to be first. That's where he wants to be. He wants to be first. He doesn't want to be second. So that $1,000, the $100, you've got $10, that $1 bill goes down, and you say that one, and then the other one goes save, and then boom. And you may say, you know what, Colby, I have so many bills right now. I have so much junk in my life. I have so much going on. I don't even know if I'm going to get evicted tomorrow, or if I don't know what's going to happen. I'm so far in the hole. So how does that even work out? Well, it's about the first. A lot of times we don't discover God's blessing because we've placed him somewhere out there. And even though we say he's the top priority in our life, our wallets and our pocketbooks tell us who or what the priority of our life is. Where we invest shows what God wants to do and what he's doing. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions. What that means is everything we have, we should say, God, thank you. Lord, how can I honor you with this? How can I use this for your kingdom's expansion on earth? How can this have impact? You've blessed me. How can I have impact? And some of us may say, I haven't really been blessed. I think my life has been one that's been cursed. I have too much baggage and struggle and difficulty and issues and dilemmas in my life. I would say this. Oftentimes when we do, we are typically the root source of those things. There are other times when there are the people that have done what has happened, or just unforeseeable circumstances. Like, how about when the tsunami hit, or when the tornado, or any of these natural disasters? Some things are uncontrollable and unexplainable. Some things just don't make sense. But God's blessing on our life, man, I'm going to say this, and I might be slapped sideways, but there's only two elders here, so I'm going to say this. I am going to challenge you. Are you ready for this? Here is the challenge. You give 10% and trust God with the 10% this year, and if you don't like what happens at the end of the year, you get a refund. That's how much I trust what God can do. That is how much I trust what God can do. I know God can do immeasurably more than anything I can ask, imagine, or fathom. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you trust God like that, but man, God is still working on me, and he's still working on you, and he's still working on all of us together. Do we really trust God? I mean, do we trust him in the good times and the bad, or do we just really follow him in the good times? Honor the Lord with your possessions, everything, your children. You know what? Before they belong to you, they belong to God. You may say, they don't belong to anyone. They're, humans aren't possessions. No, but our children, we are God's children. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But we are a new creation. And we are now children of the King. We're not paupers anymore. We're not heathens anymore. We are now princes and princesses. And our daddy is the King. No. I said our daddy is the King. Amen. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of gods, the God before all gods. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first, the last. He is never ending. He will expand his wisdom upon human beings. He will allow us to understand him powerfully and profoundly in this life, even though some of the things are unfathomable and we can't really understand the mind of God because we are finite. And he is infinite. And he is so far beyond our understanding, yet he allows us to comprehend things and illuminates our mind to deep, intimate spiritual truths. It's a matter of being open to what he has for us. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And in Genesis 4, 3 through 5, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the fruit firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." Why? Abel worked with the herds. Cain grew fruit and worked in the field and plowed fields and things like that. So he brought fruit. It doesn't really say why God rejected his offering, but it has to do with the heart.
Is it of or off the ground?
Will you?
Well, if the fruit came off the ground, wouldn't you want it off the tree?
So look, Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Oh, where you were. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit. You picked up on it, buddy. All right, check this out. Abel gives the first. What did Cain do? But he brought it from the ground. Have you ever gone apple picking? You go apple picking, you're not picking the ones off the ground, are you? Yeah. The ones on the ground typically have worms or whatever, or they're rotten, unless someone just dropped them on the ground. You are going up that tree and picking the fresh apples. The best, right? You want the best. You're looking for the prime apple. So he's like, "Oh, let me get all that, gather all this fruit up and bring it all to, and I'll bring this to God as my offering." So he brings it to God as his offering. And I don't know if it was that as much as it was his heart. Because what ends up happening in the next section of that text is Cain kills Abel. Well, before he does that, he is enraged with anger. And it says his face is downcast. I think it was a little worse than that. When we think of downcast, we think of someone like this, right? But he was enraged with anger, and his face was downcast. Have you ever been really angry? Well, he did not respect Cain and his offering. So God didn't respect it because it didn't come from his heart, but it also wasn't the first fruit. We need to give God our first fruit. And when we do, we see all sorts of transformation in our lives. Oh, went too fast. The third thing, the tithe must be first. It must be first. Just like I said, with that 1,000, you take it out and you put the 100, and then and with the $1, what do? With $1? Oh, some people are good mathematicians. 10 cents. Yeah. So, in all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the land, of the tree, in the Lord is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So it's holy to the Lord. The tithe must be first. Everything is holy to the Lord. So we need to bring that first fruit, and we need to bring that before God and give what is first to God, because it is the Lord's. Whether we believe that or not, it actually is the Lord's. And in 1 Corinthians, here's some New Testament for you. For those of you going, "Oh, this is all old stuff, Old Testament stuff. I want something new." Well, in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Now this is Paul writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And as he writes this letter to the church in Corinth, what happens with this letter? It gets distributed to that church, but oftentimes, actually every time, it would typically get distributed to different churches in the region. And they would read it at the churches and read it to the congregation. And he's basically saying, on the first day. Now, some would argue that in Judaism, they gather on Saturday. Well, we have this, the first day, Sunday, we gather on Sunday. So there's the Sabbath, and I don't know if you know this, but in Spanish, sábado came from Sabbath. And then, well, that's not really with Greek and Hebrew, but I thought I'd throw the Spanish in. But the Sabbath was on Saturday. Now we celebrate on Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus, right? So he rose. And on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. And then Exodus. We're wrapping this up now. But this passage from Exodus. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and in. And it comes to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the first of man and the first of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. All right. That's a tough one, right? The Egyptians were in such rebellion. The Israelites were called out by God out of slavery and to go and pursue God in freedom. And the Egyptians did not want to, Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. He refused over and over and over again, no matter what plague struck him, until he finally relented. And this is hard for us. It's really hard for us that God would allow innocent babies. It doesn't make much sense, does it? The Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. They all died. Can you imagine that happening? What if that happened in our society today? Back then, the firstborn male was the one that took on the household and got all of the funds and money and basically got everything passed down to him. You may remember Jacob and Esau. And Esau got his birthright stolen by Jacob. The birthright was when the firstborn was born, they received all the wealth and all the amenities that the dad had. It's a big deal. It was a big deal. So for the firstborn to be struck down, of both the animal and there's this, the firstborn is struck. And what it means is that's important. The first is important. And why this had to happen, it had to do with hardened hearts. And why it went like it did, I don't know, but it would have been horrible and awful and terrible. And I wouldn't have wanted to see that or be a part of it. And I'm sure none of us would want to. But the Israelites received their freedom. And in their freedom, this freedom that they received, eventually Pharaoh went after them and they went into the desert and they walked and ventured because they weren't being faith-filled and following after God for 40 years. And if you look at a map of their travels, they're almost going in a circle. They go like this and then they walk right around again and it's pretty wild until they came to the promised land. And what do we know about the promised land? We know that their leader didn't get to go into the promised land. He sat up on that mountainside and looked down on the promised land. We've got to put God first in everything. The firstborn of my sons I redeem. Redemption is critical. In order to multiply, we need to first commit and to surrender and to step out in faith and do what most of our society would say is unthinkable. To give before we receive. To give even when it hurts, because ultimately there's blessing on the other side. And if any of you have discovered that blessing, you would understand what I'm talking about. For a while there, I'm going to share something else with you here about me personally. For a while there, what I would do, I would give to different causes and things. That's not tithing. Tithing is to the local church. And I would give to my missionary friends, and I would give. That's offering. Although the way we have our budget set up in this church, we automatically give 10% to missionaries right off the top. We do like that. And we are committed to giving for the kingdom expansion in this earth, on this earth. And I wonder what we individually are committed to. God wants to be first. Number one.